You know, today, we live in a world that's a little different maybe than when we were younger. And we were talking, we talk in my office every morning, whatever sports coming through. And I'm sorry, sports and schools, what I know, and that's my stories. But, we talk every morning and we've been talking about basketball because it's basketball season. And, you know, I started my career as a football coach, and that's what I was known as. I did teach class a little bit, and I did help with basketball some, but I wouldn't consider it coaching. But we'd go through the season, and we'd prepare and plan for a game, and everybody'd know where they're supposed to be, know their jobs, and we just felt like everything was good, and we'd go out there, and we'd try to execute this plan. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes it was the coach's fault, probably more times than none, that the plan wasn't good, but defensively, if somebody ever scored on us, it just let the air out of us. Man, I can't believe that happened. And the kids would, you could coach them a little bit, and they would listen. They were receptive. So we rock along, we get the basketball. We do the same thing, same kids, same coaches. We have plans. We're going to try to keep them from scoring, run a certain defense, and everybody knows their jobs. We get out there in the game, and somebody doesn't do their job and lay up on the other end. Somebody done to lay up on the other end. We'd call time out and try to coach the same kids the same way we did during football, but their attitude was totally different. Because in football, you have about 8 possessions a game. In basketball, you may have 60 to 80 possessions a game. And it's the first quarter. It's just 2 points. Is it that big a deal? That seemed to be their attitude because they knew they had time. They knew they had opportunity. We'll make it up. Don't worry. But my thoughts in the end, when we got beat by 1 point, I was pointing out that 2 points sure would have been nice. You know, and I wonder, getting into our lives, that sometimes actions that we take and decisions we make, sometimes we think it's just one decision. It's small. Is it really going to matter that much? So today we're going to spend a little bit of time discussing We're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that all of our actions do matter. Every act has importance in our lives, and the world seems sometimes to blur this because in a world, it seems there's a gray area. There's not black and white always. I remember when I became a principal, I still kind of thought from a coach, I thought everything was black and white is what I said and that was it. But I became a principal. My superintendent told me, he said, you get paid of how you operate and manage it between the gray lines. I said, well, that's easy. There's not much of a gray line. It's black or white. And after a few decisions of mine, I felt like in dealing and some heated discussions with some people that thought there was a gray line, I discovered in the world there's a gray line. And sometimes it blurs black and white. And as Christians, we have to be very careful not to get caught up in the gray and try to justify actions. We read in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and verse 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here I put gray, black, or white. That seems black and white to me. It says, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Some may argue the fact that it's black and white, that the Bible's black and white, and that's the reason why we have different denominations probably in the Christian world and different doctrines. But as Christians, we better understand and believe that the Bible's black and white. What it says in here and what we're commanded to do, we are commanded to do, and there's no gray area with it. We read that our actions can lead to two destinations, Romans 2 and verse 5 through 10. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up thyself wrath against the day and the wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and doing and well doing seek the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first and also unto the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Here the Bible clearly states there are two destinations that mankind can end up at. We can have eternal life or eternal damnation. and anguish to the souls that do evil. And we see our actions will be judged. Actions also reveal who we serve. Romans 6 and 16. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin or unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. The actions we take in our lives show who we serve. We're obedient and serve God, or we serve the world and evil. We have to make sure that we're serving God and following his word. Just like I talked about in the basketball game, we don't need to get caught up that this action doesn't matter. And we can make up time, that I have time or I can try it once. We don't need to get caught up in these worldly thoughts. The try it once on that I'm going to try this little thing and it's not that big and I'm going to do it once. I know God wouldn't approve and it's not in his will. I'm going to try it, but I can come back. You know, I had a mother come by my office one day. She was worried about how her son was doing. He was having hard times, and not just school, but at home. And we began to talk, and when through the conversation came out in her younger life, I don't know how many years prior to this time, but younger life, she had tried some things. And she had tried a drug called cocaine and got hooked on cocaine, and she started serving that. It's controlled her life. In the time when she's doing all this, she had a child. So that son was raised up that she was worried about was raised up seeing things that she had done. And she was mortified that had happened. We had discussion. And she thought that she had some of the things that she had done, her son picked up on, was going the same direction. You know, we don't know which little thing that we may try that's going to grab us and hold us. We don't know which little thing we're going to step out there and going to be, we'll try it again and become a habit. And once it becomes habit, we keep doing it. Once it becomes, we keep doing it as a habit, it can become a character of who we are. Just like she didn't think it was going to affect her son. She didn't know it was going to affect her life that much from the way she talked, so I thought I'd try it. But she was very sad. And if she could go back, I guarantee you she would have never tried it. I can guarantee you that. And the thing that stuck with me most through all this, in the end, she said, you know, I've been clean for, I'm going to say years because I can't remember the exact time. But she said, when I watch a movie and I see it on TV, I still want to go get some. I still want to go grab it. So as Christians, we need to be careful thinking that we can try it one time. It's not going to matter. It's just one time, and we need to be careful saying that we do have time, because we read in James 4 and 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. We might not have the time we think. We need to remember and take appropriate actions in our lives. And we're going to now look at how the action affected a young prophet. We read in 1 Kings 13, 9 through 11. This story was pretty long, so I've cut it down quite a bit. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that came us. And this was a young prophet telling, the King Jeroboam this, because when he came in, the king was trying to get him to come to his house, and after when he was finished, so he could refreshing himself. But the man was commanded by the Lord, eat no bread, nor drink no water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works the man of God had done in the day at Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. They told also to their father. The prophet followed directions he was given by God and went to Bethel. He did not eat bread, drink water, or go the same way. He was tested another time, not by King Jeroboam, but by a man who said he was also a prophet. The old prophet from Bethel went to the young prophet and invited him to his house to eat and drink. The prophet had told him, the angels had told him he was okay and that he was a prophet. Now the young prophet had a decision to make, didn't he? Do I take the action I was instructed? Don't eat, don't drink, or go the same way? Or do I trust this prophet that said the angel that spoke to him and said it was okay, come with me, I'm a prophet also? We read, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk. Okay, what decision did he make? Did he follow God's instructions? No. After it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, then he saddled him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom they had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast away, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. The young prophet's action to disobey God, even though he was misled, cost him his life. I think that action mattered. I think that action mattered. His decision and his action to disobey God, God's instructions, I think it mattered. We're responsible for our actions. We read this in Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For if he soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But if he soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Our decisions and actions changes for the better or for worse. We make decisions to be obedient and do the will of God or not. Some of our actions can influence future actions. And remember, our character can be based on decisions we made throughout our lives. Here, we're not able to blame others for our mistakes and sins. We are responsible for our own decisions that we make in life. We're responsible for our decisions. Actions can also define us. We read this, John 8, 44 through 47. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. We choose to take actions we take each day, and we need to remember these actions become habits, and our habits can lead us away from God. When it gets to that point, it's hard to change and come back. We need to remember that we're either serving good or evil. We're either becoming more Christ-like or less Christ-like with our actions and decisions we make. Actions are going to count in judgment. Read this in Matthew 12 and 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, he shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We also read this in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And finally, we read in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring the light of hidden things of the darkness and will make manifest the counsels of our hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. We read in these past three scriptures that there will be a time of judgment. Our actions will be brought to light, whether good or bad. You know what? We talk about school a lot, and I watch kids play on the playground. You can watch them. They'll start a game, and it might not go the one that's kind of the leading the game's way. And do over. Let's start over. I've done that. You know, when I played golf and a guy hits a long drive and I'm trying to beat him and mine goes this way, I ask for a mulligan. I want a do-over. Or you lose a game, let's go the best 2 out of 3. You know, in life, sometimes we bargain and make decisions. In the day of judgment, there's not going to be any of that. What is done is done. And we're going to be judged on our actions. And every action we take will matter. There's some actions we take that are encouraging action. We read Mark 12, 41 through 43. And Jesus said over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called upon him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all which have cast into the treasury. Some actions we think that may be small or insignificant of being and being while being obedient can make a huge difference in the lives of you and others. God doesn't ask us to do something beyond what we can manage. He wants to do what we're able to do to serve Him. So if we're able to serve Him in ways, that's what God expects from us. And as Jimmy pointed out this morning, we need to be all in. We need to be all in and serve Him. He's not asking for anything grand. He's asking for us to be all in. in James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The affectional, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we also read, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. First, we need to understand and know that and be thankful we have a forgiving God. But we also can read here that we can help each other reach our goal and our destiny. We are able to pray for each other. We're able to lift people up. We're able to bring people to Christ. We're able to teach them the story so they can have eternal life. That ought to be encouraging that we can help one another and talk to God in prayer and help each other reach our goal. You know, I talk to people a lot about, you know, we want to do what's right for kids, and sometimes I've been caught up in this. I go out and this boy or girl needs something and I do it for them, and we talk about why I'm doing it, how it's helping them, what they need to do for the future to be better. And a month later, they're doing the same thing, even worse. And then when I call them on it, they say something to me that I wouldn't say to anybody. And then I get mad. Did I do it for the right reasons if it made me mad? Did I do it to help them, to show love to them, to help them grow if it made me mad when they didn't do the next time? Or was I doing something to expect them to do what I wanted them to do? You know, when we're helping each other out, we need to understand that. Sometimes we might reach out to a person. We might be trying to get them to obey the gospel. We might be trying to get them to change their ways. And sometimes they may lash out at us. But we need to keep doing right because it's the will of God and it's what He wants us to do. It's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're commanded to do. We need to help one another. And if that time when I got slapped to the face and I puffed up a little bit when I came to my senses, then we started all over again. Here's what we're going to do here. Remember this and try to help them again. Because we all do fall, we all fall short, or we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short, and we're all going to need help. So when we help each other, let's encourage, pray, and try to bring people to Christ. And if we're doing those things, are we being more or less Christ-like? You're being more Christ-like in your service. All actions matter. Read this, Romans 6, 21 through 23. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For in the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye that have fruit unto the holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our relationship with God lets us bear a fruit of righteousness. Paul explains, sin is death, but God gives us a gift of eternal life. We can grow in our relationship with Jesus by living in faith and obedience and to help reach our goals. You know what? Our house, much probably like y'all's houses, for Kenan and Langston, we talk about goals and what they would like to be and what we would like them to be, probably more than theirs right now. But we talk about goals and things that they want for the future in their lives, and we talk about actions, kind of make a plan to reach those goals. And when we hit a rough spot in the road, we go back and look at those actions. And if our actions aren't getting us to our goal, we might need to change our action. So as Christians, we need to look at ourselves and look at our actions and determine the actions we're taking is taking us where we want to be. Are we getting closer to God? Or are we getting farther from God? Are we doing good? Or are we serving evil? We have to self-evaluate ourselves to make sure the actions are leading to our goal. You know, we have a forgiving God, and we also, if to restore the relationship with God, if our actions have let sin get between us and God, we read in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. You know, if we've let the world get between the relationship, we can restore the relationship. Confessing or acknowledging the fact that we have sin in our life, and through confession we're admitting to God we're sinners in need of mercy. God will cleanse us of this unrighteousness. We also read that we need to repent. Confess, repent. Acts 8:22, repent there for of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And also Luke 13:3, I tell you, you about got me on that one. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we see that there's a way to restore. That if we're a Christian and we've fallen away, there's a way to restore. We confess to each other and repent our sins, and we make a change in our lives. We admit that we have a problem, and we make that change. And that can restore the relationship, and we can be obedient to God. We need to let all of our actions serve God. We need to understand that actions will determine the place we spend eternity. We need to be encouraged at the fact that we can affect others in a positive manner and make a difference in their lives as well as our own. We also need to be thankful we had a Savior that died and will sacrifice and give us a chance at eternal life. If actions have caused sin to become between us and God, there's a way we can restore that relationship, and you don't need to do it today, because we don't know how much time we have.